Browns lost 34-13. It really wasn't even as close as the score indicated. And that's saying something. Let's bring in Daryl Ryder. Brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. He's dangerous. Hello.
Good morning, guys.
All right, Daryl, what were your thoughts, bud?
It's over. Got 12 more weeks of this to go. It's over. Deshaun can't play at an elite level anymore. It's over with him. They made their bed. They got to sleep in it now. But I just complete utter disaster and failure for the Cleveland Browns. Unprepared, disinterested at times, confused at times. We've been trying to talk ourselves for 5 weeks into this thing's going to get better. They're going to get it on track. I think yesterday was the cold hard truth. They're not getting it on track. It's not going to get better. Kevin Stefanski doesn't have answers. The players don't have answers. The players I don't want to say they don't care, but they sure don't look like they care. So it is what it is. I'm excited for game two, Guardians and Tigers this afternoon at Progressive Field. And hopefully the guards can help Cleveland fans wash this awful taste in our mouths out.
Well, I guess the first question I would have, Daryl, is would you bench Deshaun? I thought in the third quarter they could have benched him and then actually said, well, they were afraid for him. He was getting crushed so badly. But at this point, when would be the move? Because you are on the brink of losing an entire locker room.
I think you might have already lost the entire locker room, to be honest with you.
He lost the locker room?
Ken, does it look like any of these offensive players want to play with this guy?
I'm just asking.
And I'm just giving you an answer. Okay. The offensive line doesn't block for him. They don't run for him. They don't catch footballs for him. They don't run the right routes for him. They do nothing for this guy. He's a captain, by the way. They did nothing to earn that title, but they named this guy a team captain. Should tell you all you need to know. The backup quarterback gives the pregame pep talks, but they named Deshaun Watson a team captain. They have inauthentic leadership on this team. It shows weekly.
What I tell you, Tone, that's true.
They can't get the right personnel on the field. Oh, actually, and that's not just an offensive problem. Apparently, it's a defensive issue too. Can't count to 12 on that side of the ball either. So,
well, that's the one. That's the one. After seeing this team and very different many iterations of this team with Kevin Stefanski, that was the one thing we could hang our hat on was professional offense, competency. Right. Now that's out the window. Well, what changed?
You blew up your entire offense last offseason to supposedly make life better for Deshaun Watson. That's what changed.
Are we headed to Brown's prison, Daryl? Is that what this is? Is that what this is? Because I said, Daryl, I said this during the summer. I go, man, we might be playing the theme song to Lock Up here, because if he ain't good, then you got to liquidate assets. And I said this morning to Tone, I says, I don't know when football is going to be back then. Like competitive actual football, we had a taste of it last year with everything that's wrapped up in him, the picks, the money, did it. I mean, it could be 2026, 2027, somewhere in there, but you got to pick the right quarterback. That brings into question Andrew Berry, which a lot of people rightfully so are questioning right now. It's his job. This ain't good, man. This is really not good. I fear we might be headed to Brown's prison, buddy.
They went all in on the wrong quarterback again. Plain and simple. Again, watch Jaden Daniels and then watch Deshaun Watson. And feel free to tell me I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, I don't think anybody would question you after that.
I mean, they went all in on the wrong quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It's plain as day. And there's no eject button. It is what it is. I don't think Kevin Stefanski has the power to bench Deshaun Watson.
So it's not his call? The call comes from above him?
Man, if the coach can't bench a player who is underperforming, I don't know what the point of the coach being here is.
right. I'm with you, Anthony, but you know, I have a feeling that call comes above his pay grade, and that's why
the only way he could have replaced Deshaun Watson yesterday, and I thought in the third quarter there was an easy time to do it, after that fumble. He was getting beat up. You could have made the move. He had to wait for – he can't make a call. We learned that the hard way with Alex Shiner, right?
No, Ray Farmer.
Ray Farmer. Yeah, I'm sorry. Get them all mixed up. If that is the case, I mean, how would they have gotten the message to him?
This is my opinion, by the way. I'm not saying
no, I got
you. This is my opinion, okay? But I just, you know, they got $46 million a year wrapped up in this guy.
Stuff carrier pigeons?
Yeah. I mean, passing notes in study hall? Pass it through the stands?
A coach needs to be able to bench a quarterback.
Here's the thing.
That needs to be under the purview of a head coach.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, I think that the Browns' issues are bigger than Kevin Stefanski, and that's why, you know, I'm not really interested in entertaining the fire Kevin Stefanski talk this morning. Now, I would be interested in entertaining fire Ken Dorsey, and then, you know, because if there is a fix, and I don't even know if it would work at this point in the season, I don't know how difficult it would be, but I honestly would fire Ken Dorsey, say, hey, your offense is not working here. We don't have the players to run it. It just isn't working here. We're just going to get out of this thing now and go back to the Kevin Stefanski offense that they ran last year, or we're going to run last year with Deshaun, right? And everyone knows that offense in the building except for maybe Jerry Jeudy, because he's the new guy, and Zach Zinter. That's what I would do at this point. But that is a move of sheer desperation, and I admit that. As I say that, I admit that is a move of desperation. But at this point, you're 1-4. Your offense is scoring less than football teams that combine to go 1-31. Those teams had an excuse. They didn't have talent. Okay? There's no excuse for this team averaging 14.5 points per game. There's way too much talent on this roster to be averaging 14.5 points per game. That's just mind-numbingly stupid to me at this point. Okay? So they form the habits in training camp, because what we're watching now is exactly what I watched in training camp. They do nothing well offensively. There is absolutely nothing to cling to on that side of the ball for hope. And I'm sorry, Browns fans, I'm this negative right now. We're only 5 games into the season, but I'm just telling you the way it is. There is nothing offensively to cling to. You can't say the offensive line is good. You can't say, well, at least they run the ball good. You can't say, well, the quarterback's showing signs of life. You can't say the receivers are great. There is nothing offensively to hang your hat on. Nothing. Defense, you can say, well, they clean up the tackling thing. They're okay. They clean up a couple of the blown coverages there. They're okay. Offensively, I got nothing for you guys. I really don't. And like I said, I'd entertain firing Ken Dorsey. I don't know that solves any of the problems.
Well, then, because if they went back to the classic Kevin Stefanski offense,
which, by the way, worked. I mean, yeah. Kevin Stefanski made Jacoby Brissett look like a starting quarterback in the NFL. Baker Mayfield looked good when he was healthy in Stefanski's offense. You know, Joe Flacco came off a couch, got dusted off. Well, I mean, he's looking pretty good in the Colts offense right now, too, so I don't know if that's a good example to use, but you get my point. Kevin he won 4 games with 4 different quarterbacks last year with his offense. So, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but I have said this repeatedly, and it's because I believe it. They fixed something that was not broken. And I'm of the mind that you don't fix things that aren't broken. And that's what they did.
Offense. I got to tell you, Daryl, I think that they were afraid that Watson might have been. I'm starting to believe that they were really afraid that Watson might be broken, and they became desperate and made some of these moves.
Possibly.
With this offense. Like, again, I have nothing to confirm it. Lyman, I don't mean to take anything out of your mouth, but when Lyman's hearing that, well, it might not have been Kevin's decision to let go of Alex Van Pelt. I'm going, how?
Well, and see, there you go, right? I mean, so if, you know, those rumblings are there. What makes you think that Kevin Stefanski has the power to change quarterbacks?
Well, it's just unbelievable. How do you win Coach of the Year? How do you go 4 years, get an extension, and you somehow lose power? How does that happen? Usually, you gain power over time.
Well,
you gain that trust over time.
Well, the reason Deshaun is here is not because of Andrew Berry. Andrew Berry followed orders. Ownership told him to get that done.
I totally disagree. I've heard completely different from what you're telling me right now.
People, you know, they wanted to get Deshaun Watson here, okay? And they fully guaranteed the contract to make it happen. People forget, the Browns were eliminated. They were on Thursday. It came out. Browns first team eliminated. Deshaun's starting to pare this thing down. Browns are out. And then now all of a sudden the Browns got back in and they got it done because they fully guaranteed the contract. They got. I was under the impression that Andrew was basically told get it done. So, you know,
okay,
they got it done.
Hold on.
The results.
The initial decision to go after this.
Correct. Was Andrew.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then we're on the same page.
Yes.
So I just assume, once you open up Pandora's box, I think they knew what was going to happen, which was what happened. I mean, Baker was livid.
Yep.
And I still don't know. I mean,
once that became public, I mean, it was the point of no return.
You've kind of toughed it out with everybody else, though. I mean, Baker was a pretty important position. David Njoku asked for a trade twice. You didn't let him go. You didn't make that happen. I know that there was the ifs and buts and all that other stuff. We're going down a road we really don't need to there, Daryl. But
they're in a jam. There's no off ramp right now. Like it is what it is. I mean, the other argument is, hey, you paid him $46 million a year. Keep running him out there until he figures it out. And if he doesn't figure it out, well, then he just doesn't figure it out. Like there's that argument to be made too. Like I wish I could sit here and give you a bunch of solutions to the mountain of problems that they have right now. But we're 5 weeks into this thing. Nothing has been fixed since training camp. It looks as bad, if not worse, as it did in training camp. And that's why I wish I had hope for Browns fans right now. I really do. I wish I had solutions. I don't see it. I'm sorry.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. Go ahead, Tone.
Daryl, what would you say is the timeline before things start getting very aggressive in terms of changing a quarterback or people losing jobs, an offensive coordinator either getting fired or taking over the play calling? Like they could go in any number of directions here.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm sure those questions are going to come up with Kevin today because, I mean, there's got to be accountability at some point, right? I said this on the post-game podcast yesterday. You know, we can talk about firing people all we want, whether it's position coaches, the coordinator, whatever. Like, I don't know that ultimately solves a problem. All that really does maybe is give fans a little pound of flesh, right? Say, okay, fire the offensive coordinator. All right, now we're moving in the right direction. I don't think that gets to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is, A, Deshaun Watson can't play football at an elite level anymore. And B, nobody around Deshaun Watson plays well for the guy, whether that's either by choice or circumstance or the system doesn't fit them, whatever it is, right? I mean, it's undeniable that they do not play well for Deshaun Watson. It's plain as day. The line doesn't block for him. Receivers aren't on the same page with him. They're not catching footballs for him. So that's why I'm like, it is what it is, folks. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
All right, Daryl. Thank you very much for the time.
Enjoy playoff baseball today, guys. Got playoff baseball today.
It's a big
one. Keep your heads up.
If they win this game this afternoon, is that the series?
Yeah.
Wow, Daryl, sticking it out there. That's something. I'm surprised.
If they can beat Scooble this afternoon, they're going to win this series. Yes, absolutely. And look, if they don't win today, I still think they can wrap it up in four games. So, it's, you know, Scooble's tough, no question about it. But, you know, relax, go to the ballpark today, forget about the football team, and enjoy yourself. Playoff baseball, there's nothing better.
Daryl, we'll talk to you Friday.
You bet, guys. Have a good week.
The Dangerous One, Daryl Ryder, presented by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Also remember, it's always game day in Cleveland. Daryl's saying the quiet part out loud. I think everybody's saying the quiet part out loud. By the way, what's wild around the league coming up at 8:45? If you make the change, that's it. And I think a lot of people are perfectly fine with making the change. I do not believe they're going to make the change. I have zero defense on why to not make the change. Zero. Zero. I think they'll move on from Ken Dorsey before they move on from Deshaun Watson. I think that might be the last card that they play. I think this will continue into Philadelphia. I don't know if he's going to play well against Philadelphia. And I don't know how well he's going to play overall because, honestly, the game he played against Vegas, it wasn't like he was top five against Vegas. It was like, hey, if he plays like that, he ain't going anywhere. That was not elite level quarterback play. That was pretty good quarterback play.
I thought it was pretty good.
And I'd probably take some away from it because of what I just saw yesterday. Yesterday was terrible. And it's hard to say, it's hard to put a thumb on it because I think a lot of people thought they had their smoking gun right there in the third quarter when he walked off the field. It wasn't what it seemed, even though to a lot of people it seemed what it seemed.
Not according to Joe Banner, apparently.
But at some point, what did Joe Banner say?
He said he still has people in the building.
Does?
And he's calling it that, from what he had heard, that Watson was just being a bad teammate.
Are they sending Joe the magazines he can pick future draft picks from?
An uncoachable player.
Oh, okay. That's great. Joe Banner's one of those guys. Like, you start a house fire and then walk by and go, who started this house fire? What's going on? Let me tell you why this house fire got started. Okay, thanks a lot, Joe.
Well, that's the thing today, though.
Talk about all the other teams except the Browns, Joe.
Just for us, it's hard to go after anybody when our situation is as dire and looks as bad as it is, and they look like the worst team in football.
Of course, I said his name, so I'm sure he'll make a phone call to the Marble Mouth coming up. But anyway, go ahead.
It's hard to... anybody that rips the Browns right now, I can't take shots at. I think we've lost the right to take shots at anybody who rips about what's going on with our situation.
Yeah, except for guys that helped cause it in back of the day. Can I not?
I think people are more upset with our guys than the people talking
I'm
about our guys.
I'm more upset with our guys than I am Joe Banner.
I see it every time.
To be reminded of that.
No, just at any time, like Mike Lombardi says something about the Browns or everybody around the league. I mean, they're all saying bad things about the Browns right now. And people want us to slam our guys, and I'm just thinking about, like you said, the next thing is Ken Dorsey gets fired, or is it Ken Dorsey takes over the play calling?
I didn't say Joe Banner was wrong for what he said. I just said I don't want to hear it from Joe Banner. That's all.
Do you think Ken Dorsey, getting back to this? Do you think Ken Dorsey it was more likely to get fired or promoted right now?
Fired.
I don't know.
Well, you've brought this up. You brought it up at the end of last week, and you're bringing it up today. I think they're back ass words if they do that, though.
They're going to hand him.
I mean, they should have started with him calling the plays, and then if we're in this situation,
yeah, probably.
Kev goes, now, hey, I'm going to take it over.
These
are his plays, though, right? Does the guy calling the plays right now know the plays? Does the guy running the plays right now know the plays? It doesn't appear to be that way on either.
Well, you found
another... Does the quarterback understand the plays? Does he know where the reads are? Yeah.
Who was it who said he wanted to...
Do the guys running the routes know why they're running the routes and not just what routes they are?
Who was the first guy? Was it Parcells who said you want him to cook the dinner, let him shop for the groceries?
Yes.
It's the same thing, except it's even worse because you're having a philosophical difference in what plays to call, for crying out loud. Guys, the Browns want him to run these plays. He's not capable of running the plays. The offense is not capable of running the plays. They didn't spend too much time together in the preseason.
This is the crazy thing.
They didn't spend too much time in the preseason to run those plays together. I don't think they're physically capable of it. I don't think he's physically capable of carrying the plays out.
But
I don't think any of them are capable of doing anything.
This is the problem. Aren't we saying that Stefanski's offense, where the quarterback is under center and play action fake is a huge part of the game. Didn't we say that that's not what Watson's game is? So now he's out of the shotgun almost exclusively, and now we're saying he can't run those.
Me to believe all the people who are calling in, that's they look at this as their smoking gun to get Stefanski fired. It's professional football. We'll get there eventually, guys. Of all the people who are telling me that this head coach needs to go, of all people, he is the only coach in football history that needs a bad quarterback to run his offense. He's the guy. Everybody else needs a good quarterback to run their offense. He doesn't need a good quarterback. He needs a bad quarterback to run his offense.
Specifically,
what
bad,
about in Indianapolis? Do they need a bad quarterback to run their offense?
Well, he's got a bad quarterback.
Stefanski
has a bad quarterback playing football for him right now.
See, you're seeing the reasoning. You have the reasoning of it. The people who don't see reason, they just want to blame it on the head coach. So Deshaun Watson's a good quarterback, but he's looking like a bad quarterback because the head coach made him look bad, even though the other quarterbacks that have played for him haven't looked bad.
Yeah, because they listen to what's going on the field and do the plays that are called and not freelance it. I always thought the thing that made Deshaun different from everyone else was his freelance ability, but right now it's not working.
No, it's not. And when we were looking at it last week, like I didn't have a good feeling about it last week because they lost. I had to be honest with everybody and say, if he plays like that, he's not getting replaced. And people got mad because no one's happy right now. So we're going to get mad at every word that comes out of everybody's mouth. But if he played like that, he's not getting replaced. But he was playing like that in chaos. Chaos is not a plan to steer towards. Nobody wants that. No, for the love of God, can we stop being so simplistic and stupid about this? Well, Patrick Mahomes, they don't want to do it. That's why they go offensive lineman. That's why they went and got Creed Humphrey years ago. That's why they do what they do. And by the way, when their offensive line isn't that good because they have injuries, he gets rid of the ball faster. Can we get our heads out of our ass and think about this for a moment, that it is a team game still, and Mahomes needs the guys around him. And Josh Allen does need some of the guys around him. Like, it isn't that hard to figure out. Like, they're the first ones to say it, and we just think, well, it's just lip service because they're the great players, but a quarterback has to say those things. No, because a lot of the great quarterbacks know that it's true. They know it's true.
I mean, I am going to default.
He's got a full complement of people around him. He's got a healthy, relatively healthy offensive line. Look what he's doing down there.
Yeah, I mean, I get asked all the time, and we get asked on this station about, well, if you know what hit the fan, would you say goodbye to the coach or the quarterback? And normally, when you have a really good quarterback or a quarterback who's shown signs of being really good, it's always the coach that goes. In this case, I've seen Stefanski coach really good offenses. I haven't seen the quarterback play good quarterbacking. No. NFL great quarterbacking. I haven't seen it in 5 years now. I mean, it's that every day we get further away from that. I think the one that has more credibility in that locker room is Stefanski. Now, maybe neither do. Maybe guys are rolling their eyes at everything that comes out of Stefanski's mouth. But they most recently had a great run with Stefanski. Nobody here in that building has had a great run with Deshaun Watson.
We will find out soon enough, Anthony. I guarantee you we will, because they're not good at hiding their emotions. The head coach is. Everybody else isn't. And they'll start to point fingers.
Oh, Jerry Jeudy looked miserable yesterday. Oh, yeah. And I know he dropped the best throw of maybe Watson's career
last week against
since
Vegas,
he's been in Cleveland.
Last week against Vegas, we could say, hey, that's a guy trying to pick up another guy and figure these things out. This week, it was explainable with the 12 men in the huddle. We'll get there. We'll get to something on the sideline that they can't hide anymore. I guarantee you.
See, Amari
because
Cooper,
these are professionals, and they don't do embarrassment very well.
I mean,
they're
going to
go
Cooper,
out there against Philadelphia, and if they get embarrassed out there with Philadelphia, with those fans yelling at them, someone's going to say something that maybe a lot of guys have been thinking for a long time.
Amari Cooper was shaking his head after the first deep ball that was nowhere close to anybody. Mm-hmm. He was already shaking.
That too, huh?
And then they showed at the end
that
of the first
the
half,
notes.
As they were going to commercial break at the end of the first half, it was Deshaun looking, you know, frustrated, rightfully so. Nothing's going well, but also Amari Cooper too. Like the body language, and you don't need the body language. You can look at the score,
yeah.
But the body language is just getting worse and worse and worse. These guys do not believe.
Nope.
Our only question is it the coach they don't believe in, or the quarterback, or what sucks and what is probably the reality? Both.
I know them and the coach went to the playoffs last year. The other guy was sitting in the upper deck in L.A.
Well. What did Amari Cooper call Joe Flacco last year in a press conference in December? A faith multiplier?
Yeah.
Is anybody saying that about Deshaun Watson
right now?
Was it a faith
multiplier? Was that the word faith? I forget what it was. Yeah. There you go.
The Fan.
This is What Was Wild Around the League. Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon. Locations in Broadview Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.
Well, we kick it off with an AFC North team that had high hopes going into the year that have fallen flat on their face early on.
Lima's wild thing.
Unbelievably. Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals are in big-time trouble. They lose yesterday in overtime. It was maybe game-of-the-day material. 41-38 in OT. We'll get to some of the things that went down late in that game, but Burrow had 392 yards with 30 of 39, had 5 touchdown passes, but not enough as they fell in OT. Here's Joe Burrow.
We're not a championship level team right now. We're not. I like to think that, you know, we'll come back and improve throughout the season to get to that point, but right now we are not, and we have to get better.
Is it frustrating that 5 weeks in, it's still not at that level that we all thought it might be going into the season?
Yes.
So in overtime, and this was great, battling back and forth, it was a nice comeback by the Ravens. But then in OT, they get the ball first. Lamar Jackson's out of the shotgun, mishandles the snap, took his eyes off for a second. Cincinnati gets the football, and what did they do? What does Zach Taylor do? hands the ball off three consecutive times as they play for a lengthy field goal. 53 yards by Evan McPherson. The snap was bobbled from the holder. The holder put it down. It was a missed field goal. And then Baltimore goes down and kicks the game-winning field goal. Zach Taylor, 9-21 now against the AFC North. I repeat, 9-21 in the division. They've been to two AFC Championship games and a Super Bowl. They've lost four games by 15 points.
You just reminded me. I think it was Blake Whitehart who had to snap yesterday because Charlie Hulett got hurt. So we're looking for a snapper, maybe.
Oh, that's right.
Uh-huh.
That's a good point. So Cincinnati, is their season over? Are you writing them off at 1-4?
Yes, it's dead.
I am not. I am not.
Why is that?
Joe Burrow's playing fantastic. Like, it's very different from our situation. He is playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Did throw a tough, tough interception with about 5 minutes to go in the fourth. Mitch!
Mitch's wild thing.
All right, guys. Last week, former Browns general manager Mike Lombardi on the Pat McAfee show said that there may be some disconnect in the Las Vegas Raiders locker room. He mentioned Devontae Adams, but he also mentioned Max Crosby.
Max Crosby didn't go to the game on Sunday with a hamstring. That, to me, bothers me. That tells me there's something going on in that locker room, and there seems to be a disconnect here because I think Crosby has always been the team guy, but when he doesn't show up to a game, that tells me something without knowing something.
Now, why am I spotlighting Crosby? Because after the Raiders lost the Broncos on Sunday, Crosby addressed Lombardi not by name, but by his appearance on ESPN.
And then I got to hear these clowns that talking online and talking on the Pat McAfee show saying something's going on, and they're speaking for me saying I should be on the sideline when I got a high ankle sprain. The reality is I'm gaining yardage and trying to get right so I can get back on the field. Everybody knows my intentions and they try to speak for me when... If you speak to me and you know what's going on, then we could have a conversation, but don't speak on my name, you know what I mean, when you don't know what the hell is going on. You got clowns that are online and, you know, they got their one day of the week on the Pat McAfee show and talking about what we should do, and you haven't even been a GM. You're a GM for 1 year, so it's embarrassing.
I think Max Crosby's not happy with Mike Lombardi. That tells me something without knowing something. What a phrase. We got to borrow that one. That's good.
That's good stuff. Thank you very much, Mitch. That's excellent.
They benched your quarterback, by the way.
Ah.
Owen.
Owen's wild thing.
We're 5 weeks into the season. We already have a defensive MVP. We already have the defensive player of the year.
It's done?
Yeah, Xavier McKinney. He's a safety for the Green Bay Packers. Five games. He has five interceptions. He has one interception in each of his first five games. I just looked at the ESPN projected stats, projected to have 17 interceptions this year.
So what, you divided the five interceptions by the five games,
yes,
then what do you do?
That equals one.
Okay.
And then you now multiply that by how many games do they play in the year. That's 17. That'll end with 17. If they make it to the Super Bowl, but they're a wild card, I think he'll end up with 21 interceptions in the season and in the postseason. Aiden Hutchinson has 6.5 sacks. Vannoy has 6 sacks. Dexter Lawrence has 6 sacks. Will McDonald has 6 sacks. Not enough. 5 interceptions in 5 games. It's a pretty impressive stat. And we saw it last year. You know, Miles kind of locked it up in the first half of the season. And I think Xavier McKinney well on his way to locking up Defensive Player of the Year.
By the way, Owen, where did Will McDonald go to college?
I don't know, McDonald's University.
Little place called Iowa State.
Oh, okay.
Same thing to me. It's red and yellow.
Last secondary player to win Defensive Player of the Year was Gilmore with the Patriots. He had 6 Stephon interceptions that year.
Yeah, he had 6 in a whole season.
Yeah.
This guy's got 5 in 5 games.
It's always been pass rushers. Then you got to go all the way back to Troy Polamalu, who I just saw in a very bizarre commercial with Patrick Mahomes. Go ahead, Kenny.
Ken's wild thing.
Well, we drew straws, and I'm the one who takes it. It's Joe Flacco, 33 of 44, 359, and 3 touchdowns in a losing effort to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Of course, they put up 24 in the fourth to make that a football game. But yeah, Joe Flacco, 33 of 44. Everybody said, Do you see it? Yeah, guys, I saw it. Got nothing against Joe. Got nothing against the grand old man.
I mean, I'm happy for him.
Even though they're 2-3 now.
He's got 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. But yesterday, did you see the scramble? Did you see the run? He had a 21-yard run in that game.
Did you see how high his miles per hour was?
What was it?
He topped out at 18 miles an hour. Which, of course, then the jokes were made, is he faster than the... He's always was a better athlete than you guys thought he was.
Than you would think, yeah. 18, what could we top out at? Me? I am not fast. I am not fast at all. Like, he's smoking
11.
Me.
I bet 11.
You're worried about the end result. All we need is the acceleration point.
That's true. Kyler Murray had one. He had the fastest run in, like, years.
Yes.
From an NFL quarterback. Do people know that Kyler Murray is that fast?
Yeah, that's why we got just the way he got drafted.
But the way he runs and those short, choppy steps, I don't think people realize how fast he is. And that's it. That's what's wild.
What was wild around the league? Sponsored by Wild Eagle Saloon. Locations in Broadview Heights, downtown, and Streetsboro. More details at wildeagle.com.